You're listening to the Bird Dog Babe podcast with my mom, Courtney Bastian.
I love it. I love storytelling. So yeah. I've always loved writing. I've always loved storytelling. Anytime I can tell a story about something. And that's why I think this whole, to approach women about being outdoors, whether it's with a bow, an arch, a gun or not, or with a dog or whatever. I mean, I just think that if you can do it in a story, tell a story and let people make their own stories as a result. That's what life's about.
Hey, Bird Dog Babes. My name is Courtney Bastian, and I am obsessed with all things bird dogs. And I'm here with you to share the stories, experiences, knowledge, and opinions from the women and a few guys in the industry that are killing it. I'm a Wisconsin girl living in a Montana world. I'm mom and two incredible kiddos, wife and occasional assistant to a pro gun dog trainer, traveling the U.S. talking about canine nutrition while hunting, breeding, and competing with my German wire hair pointers and Bronco Italianos. As someone who started hunting later in life because I wanted to give my dogs the opportunity to do what they were bred to do, I'm here to help inspire, educate, and connect women to get their bird dogs out in the field and experience a bond like no other. So pour yourself a glass of wine and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Bird Dog Babe Podcast. My guest today is Barbara Baird. Barbara is the publisher of the Women's Outdoor News, also known as The One. The One is basically a one-stop shop for resources, news, stories, and reviews for everything regarding women outdoors. From shooting tips to guns and gear, hunting, fishing, archery, birding, survival, and even how to pee in the woods. If you want to know about it, Barbara and her team at The One have it covered. All right, let's get after it. A big shout out to the people and partners that are helping me keep the MP3s rolling for this podcast. My Patreon patrons, the bread and butter, the peeps, the community of like-minded individuals that are eager to learn and offer to contribute. Join us for $5 per month on patreon.com/thebirddogbabe for exclusive discounts, content, and live Q&A sessions. Dakota 283 Unparalleled Protection Rotomold Kennels. My favorite is the G3. It has a molded-in, easy-to-grab handle on top that makes it easy for me to lift in and out of my truck. The keyed paddle latching door makes me feel at ease on trips when I run into the gas station or a restaurant for a bite to eat and I'm not able to bring the dogs in with me. Go to Dakota283.com and use promo code BIRDDOGBABE for 10% off. And by Siren, shotguns for women. Siren carries the only full line of women's shotguns. They are dedicated to providing the equipment and knowledge that make shooting and hunting more enjoyable and less stressful. Newer season hunter, Siren offers multiple options that fit right out of the box. No more compromises. Go to SirenUSA.com and check out all the options available for upland, waterfowl, sporting, and trap shotguns. And while you're there, say hello to Julia, Siren's new 12-gauge sporting that is one of the most stunning shotguns I've laid my eyes on. Also by Big Frig, roto-molded coolers with heavy-duty latches, dual stainless steel lock plates that double as bottle openers. They also have dry boxes, tumblers, and growlers. And my favorite, the ability to customize the tumblers and coolers. Head to thebirddogbabe.com/bigfrig to view the wide array of sizes and colors available. There's a Badlands cooler perfect for your way of life. Good morning, Barbara. Welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. Thanks for coming on. So you are the publisher for the Women's Outdoor News, otherwise known as WON. Is that how you would pronounce it if you want to abbreviate?
Well, actually, it's a little edgy. We call it The One.
Oh, The One.
The One. The one and only. And yeah, guilty.
I like that. That's a little authoritative. I like it.
Right. Just take command even if you don't have it. Yes. Go to the cockpit.
So you've been doing the WON, The one. I need to say that right now. I'm going to have to correct myself.
You can say the one. That sounds really, sounds like you're from South America.
It does. You're right. Like, it's a really awkward pronunciation too in my mouth when I say it.
Oh.
The one.
There you go. You got it.
The one. Now it's, yes. I feel like I'm back to my Wisconsin roots here. The one.
Okay. Well, you know, if I keep listening to you, I might switch into my South Dakota language. Because I'm from there, don't you know?
I love it. So where in South Dakota are you from?
Sioux Falls, the big city.
Perfect.
the metro city. And then I also spent some time in North Dakota, and then we broke out of the state and moved to South Dakota. So I love both of the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm. And now you're in Missouri?
Missouri.
Missouri, right.
I'm in the state of Missouri.
So what took you down to Missouri?
To Missouri. This is really how the locals pronounce it. South mm-hmm. of St. Louis, they call it Missouri. My husband, he's from here, and we retired back here on a big old, I call it the ghost cattle ranch, because we have no cattle. We just have, he's an explosives engineer, so he does exploding around here and testing and all. So it's real. We have a weird lifestyle, Courtney. He still does. He's like a expert witness, explosives engineer, PhD in this kind of stuff. And so he blows stuff up. And then
That's
I write
awesome.
About guns and hunting.
Do you guys have many neighbors nearby that really appreciate you?
They love it. Sometimes they get to come over and, you know,
blow shit up with you.
Well, oh, you said it. I wasn't even going to say that, but he does say that. Yes. Yeah, one time one of our kids, I think it was our daughter, said, "Hey, my friend said no one's going to mess with your family. Your dad blows stuff up and your mom throws knives and shoots guns." So it's like the crazy people.
You throw knives? Okay, now I need to know what that's about.
Oh, it's just for recreation.
Fun.
Not in the kitchen.
Do you have like a little bullseye target that you're throwing knives at?
No, I'm naturally a good knife and particularly axe thrower. I found when we went to some outdoor events, I'm like, I would think I was born for that Olympic sport that has not been created yet. So yeah. So, but it's really a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun. So we before COVID hit, my husband and I do date nights every Friday night. We take the kids to a daycare. Yeah, it's awesome. But one night we did do that. We went to a axe throwing, like it's a place where you just go throw axes, and it's a competition, and it was the best time ever. And but that's what you do at home.
Oh, no, I don't do it at home. I just
okay,
do it when
you do
I'm
it
out.
At events.
Yeah, because well, I'm so good I don't even have to practice. I'm a freaking natural at this.
Do you bring your own axe to it?
No,
or do you,
just give when me
you
any go, axe and I
you
can
do any?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding. I'm a freak of nature when it comes to this.
Oh my gosh. When we go to when we went to this place, we have the option of like these long handled axes or a short one. So, so you can do both of those.
Yes.
Wow. You're going to have to, we're going to have to do one of our live Patreon sessions with you showing us and giving us instruction of how to axe throw.
Well, I have no clue really how to do it.
You can't teach us the technique.
To play tennis in college, so I don't know if the tennis skills can like go over to that. And I know they don't help with fly fishing at all, but they must help with this. So, well, anyway, I think we're way off track.
We are. So that we're going to have to edit that out, but it was a fun little side track.
Oh no, I don't care. You keep that in if you want.
It was fun though. All right. So tell me about the one. So the publication started in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 2008, November 4th, the election of Barack Obama.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
Say what you will.
Right.
Yes. I just remember that was the day I launched it.
Okay. So what kind of brought you to that launch? What inspired you?
Oh, well, you remember this thing, or you probably know this thing called WordPress. Mm-hmm. It was starting to be created about that time. And I was working over with Jim Shepard at Outdoor Wires, and we had started the Women's Outdoor Wires. And he won't mind if I tell this, but because he's very proud of what I've done with Women's Outdoor News. But mm-hmm. I really thought that women needed a blog type format and a networking ability. And I didn't see that with what we were doing at Women's Outdoor Wire. So I started my own blog thing. And, you know, to this day, I mean, we go back and forth with sharing things with the wires and that type of thing, but seemed to work out pretty well that women wanted to be able to ask the questions of women at Women's Outdoor News who are talking about fishing, hunting, shooting, or adventure and get knowledge that way or find out more about how they can develop a new skill.
And so they were reaching out to you personally?
Yes.
To get that content from you?
Yes, because I'm a freelance writer in the outdoor market. And so for guns and outdoor things and hunting and shooting and yes. And, you know, all that, that's like the whole world was just opening up in 2008 with the blog format and media. I mean, it seems like ancient times, doesn't it? 2008, but.
Right. But you're right. That's when a lot of kind of different movements and progression started happening was around that time period, the different platforms, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people were really afraid in the outdoor industry of the blog format. And I remember going to a meeting in particular with some of the big wigs, and they're saying, man, you know, we hate it because this blog format, anybody can say anything about our gun, this product. And but what we said was, yeah, anybody can say anything, but if it's wrong, they're going to be corrected at space. Mm-hmm. So there's room for criticism. So terrible about your product, other people will come in and either affirm it or basically crucify them. So what's wrong with free speech? Mm-hmm. I keep asking that question.
Mm-hmm. And did you find after you started that the community that you had there just kept building at a rapid pace?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because I mean, I can share that we have had more than 17 million page views with people on the site last year, 15 minutes a time, which is phenomenal.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there, and I want to get into the content here shortly. But first, I mean, how did you personally come to this? Like, knowing that the community needed something like this, did you start out hunting and shooting yourself, or what was your interest that brought you to that portion of it?
Oh, no, I didn't start out hunting and shooting. And I married a guy that had been on the pistol team at the Air Force Academy. So that got me started shooting with my husband, Jason, the guy. And then we had three sons, and I don't know how many boys you have, but we created this fraternity house that I have to live in and I had to live in for several years. And they just didn't want to go to the mall. We also have a daughter, and they didn't go to the mall with my daughter and me, or go to craft fairs or that type of thing, or go junking and that kind of thing that I love to do. But so I found that I needed to go outdoors with them. So I did that. That was the first step. We started doing more things. Of course, Jason and the boys were already outdoors doing things. So Jackie and I just started joining them, and then more family hiking and canoeing and shooting together and that type of thing. Didn't do the hunting until later when the boys left. And I thought, well, I got to fill a freezer with Jason. Someone's got to help do this. So, and then I found out I really loved it, but I digress. So then I could be an English teacher. I could be teaching your kids how to conjugate verbs right now in a Zoom classroom somewhere. But instead, since I graduated in December, when I was 40, I finally finished college, graduate, because I've been moving all over the place as a military wife.
Congrats.
Thank you. So it was a big moment for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, 20 years in the making. So there were no jobs for English teachers. I was subbing and stuff, and I started working at a local newspaper, Courtney, and that was it. I started doing an outdoor column. People started inviting me to go like gigging on the river in January, 29 degrees. I mean, talking fish gigging with the long 14-foot spears. And then I started writing for outdoor magazines, and then I started hunting, and this world just opened up to me, and I realized I was pretty much genetically wired to do this. I think that's the thing, that we don't know whether we can, and I've been out with women before and mentored them, and they can't pull a trigger on a deer, and that's fine. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You know, it's a whole experience. Why not find out whether you're a hunter or a gatherer or a mix?
Right. That is a really interesting way that you got into the community. and I just think obviously I'm more familiar with upland hunting and the different reasons why women get started here. And, you know, I did for the dogs, and I know some do just because they like hiking with their dogs, and other ones have been brought in because they wanted the food portion of hunting. So, you know, we all have these different avenues, and I find it really cool that you came into this industry just from, you know, being a writer, a publisher, and starting out in that portion of the outdoors. And you kind of grew that passion there. That's a really neat avenue you took.
Yeah, I've always been really happy when at first, you know, some people might think it's interesting, but people would come up to me, maybe they see something I wrote about for the Missouri Conservationist or another like regional outdoor magazine, and at first, and they go, oh, I saw where you did that. I guess if you can do it, I can do it. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Right. So what kind of hunting do you all do?
I will hunt whatever is in season anywhere.
Okay.
So yeah, so, invite me. No, I'm just kidding.
No, so big game. You do big game, yep. Waterfowl, upland.
Very cool. And then on Earth, we'll do predator control. Like, I was out, I guess you could say, hunting armadillos, and I got two. My gosh. Venison. We get the deer, I guess that's what's actually called. Whitetail here in the Ozarks. And our turkey population is really low. So I don't hunt turkeys anymore around here because it's just so low. It's not.
I don't think I've ever heard that line in my life. Our turkey population's low. I feel like turkeys do really well.
Well, out west they do. You know, I think that out west we have a writer in Seattle who just, I mean, she can't keep him off her back porch.
Right. Well, even in Wisconsin, I mean, they're all over the place.
We have a problem here.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So the one is the website, and we can find that at what's the website address?
Oh, womensoutdoornews.com.
Okay. Perfect. And how often, to supplement that, you're sending out a newsletter as well?
Yes, we do a weekly newsletter, and you can also subscribe to daily updates. So whenever we have new content, which is 5 or 6 days a week.
To subscribe to that, we can just go to the website, and there's going to be an option to opt in to those?
Yes, absolutely. And you can either choose weekly or as it happens.
Okay. So
in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, and you're adding that much content to it every week. That is really impressive.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's because of our sponsors. Courtney, okay. we have some great sponsors, a lot of the gun companies, outdoor companies, and
well, and it's a fantastic resource, and I have to tell you a personal experience. A woman had reached out to me. She was looking to find ways to connect with other women in the upland hunting community, or other women that enjoy shooting in general, because she's looking at improving her shooting skills before next season. And I started mentioning a couple of the organizations. And as I was looking at your website, which was prompted to me from one of your awesome newsletters I got, I saw on there a resource page. And there's actually 6 pages that you have that list all these different women's organizations and events. And I sent the link to that whole like PDF to her.
Thank you.
It was amazing. I love that you did that. It's a one-stop shop, but it's obviously going to be a second process where, so you have them all listed on there, you know, like Shoot Like a Girl, Well-Armed Woman, the Becoming an Outdoors Woman. So all those are on this page, and you're going to have to go into each of those links individually to find out when, where, and what. But incredible resource, Barbara. I haven't seen that anywhere else. And so
thank you. And you know, we're always, if you have another one that we missed, we'll put it on there. It's not, okay. we don't charge for that. And then we also included girls mm-hmm. organizations like Run Like a Girl. That's something you do outdoors. And that is amazing. That program and Frontier Girls, we know that, you know, they've kind of taken on more of like what the old Boy Scouts used to be like with outdoor patches and outdoor badges and outdoor activities.
Sure.
So yeah. So, in Inspiring Girls, that's an organization that used to before COVID, but I'm sure they'll get back to it or probably doing it virtually, but more girls that are into science and geology and outdoor, they have like outdoor clinics for girls to try to create girls who want to become scientists and get into the science fields having to do with, well, indoors, outdoors or whatever. But we just think that's so important.
Absolutely. And you have, that's what I love about your website as an amazing resource, because it's not just for those of us that hunt or those that are doing shooting. Some of the other topics you have on there, personal protection mm-hmm. and fishing, archery, adventures, and just different lifestyle stuff. I know I got hooked last night on reading one about how to clean and wax your canvas jacket.
Oh, thank you. I did that. Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like you don't find this anywhere without calling a company or searching several hundred different places on their website to find out how to do that. That was super helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to wash my waders again too. I did one. Girl, you remember Rachel Hollis, like,
yes.
Wash your face. I'm like, girl, you got to wash your waders.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's good. But did I miss any of your other topics? I mean, it's not just for the woman shooter. It's for women looking for stuff just to do in the outdoors, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Anything having to do with being outdoors, it could even be rock climbing, ice climbing, kayaking, ocean kayaking. We'd like to weave stories around as much of it as possible, but we just got one in this past week about USA Archery and about how they trained a lot of collegiate coaches virtually, and they only have one woman coach. And so that's what we gleaned out of that at a college in the US, is that this one woman coach was able to get all these great certifications online. And so that's the type of thing we're trying to do, is find these nuggets. Like when they say the Oreos, you know, the filling, double stuffing of an Oreo right here is something like that. And then we love to run articles like that, other people's press releases, other people's news, as well as our own reviews, so that we can, you know, we can make the outdoors inviting.
Mm-hmm. And I think besides all the different resources on the website, I mean, you yourself being around so much in this industry, are we able to reach out to you for direction of where to go for some questions we might have or places to get that experience?
Sure. Yeah. You can reach me either through the website or any of our social media platforms. And we have people, you know, we have people that work on those for us, but they're on our team. So mm-hmm. we all know what's going on, and we have almost 20 to 25 women around the world actually that contribute to Women's Outdoor News. So I'm really proud of that.
Wow, that's really cool.
And some women, you know, when I started back in like 1999, 2000, you would hardly ever see a byline in Field and Stream from a woman. And I feel like, you know, the way that things are trending right now, and that you're going to see more, and a woman can review a lot more than just a woman's item. That's what, you know, at first it was like, oh, can you review this gun? It's made just for a woman. Like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. But now it's like, hey, I can review a knife as well as a dude can.
Right.
I could throw it. Remember that? No, I'm just kidding.
Right. I'm assuming that you guys do quite a bit of gear reviews, being that you're really one of the main go-to resources for women of anything outdoors. What do you ever come across getting a product that, you know, maybe the company offers you quite a bit of money to advertise and push it for them, but you or the staff or people that you rely on that try out those products decide it's not really a great one? How do you tackle that?
Well, the first thing that we do is we look really hard at a partnership and whether or not we can get behind a product or the line of products. And if it's not something that we think that we here, the team here, thinks that women will really like or benefit from, we'll just turn it down. We'll just eat rice and beans for a couple more weeks. It's not a big deal. But yeah, if we do make partnership with a company and they come out with something and they ask us to review it and there's a problem with it, that's when we get back to the company and we'll say, this happened. And mm-hmm. So sometimes it just means they got to send us another one because there was a flaw in that product. So that can happen even with guns. It's happened with me with sure. guns before. They've sent another one and it's been fine. There might be that one-off one in the production and guess who gets it? So do we really want to base an entire review around that one-off thing? Is it going to be 100% perfect production of a product? No. And we understand that. So give them that opportunity. Then the second thing that we'll do is we'll say, hey, we're going to review it, but we'd like to say, if you had done this to the product, we would have appreciated it. Mm-hmm. Now, just know that that's that reviewer's opinion. So now that's out there. And then just like with any blog format, someone else can come in and say, well, I didn't have that problem with it. I thought it was brilliant. Or, yeah, I had that problem too, so I made this adjustment. Took it to the gunsmith and did this, or I took, you know, whatever the product is. But so that's how we get around that. Or if something just totally fails and we just can't get behind it, we'll just send it back. We'll say, we can't do it. Okay. We're not going to put a really crapola review out there about something, but we're just not going to review this particular thing. Right. What else do you have?
Right. So, but I appreciate that. So even if it does fail, you guys won't write that it was a fail or that you didn't like it for so many reasons. You just won't put it out there at all.
Yeah. Because people are looking for things that are successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want gear that's successful, that works. So I kind of figure that that's just about the same thing as putting it out there. Like this just totally doesn't work.
Right.
Because, and also too, at the end of the day, it's a business. So they've made an investment in us. We've promised to do things for them, but I don't feel like that we are destroying our integrity by just refusing to review something, because there are other products from that company that are good.
Yeah.
So we're showing you the products that are good.
Right. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you being a trusted, reliable source. And sharing that with me and the listeners, because that does give you and the one just that much more credibility. And for us, when we're looking to have those different apparel items or guns, to know that you guys are going to give an honest opinion of it and not push something that is less than that.
Right. And we will publish if people have a reaction to something. We'll keep it on there. With something, okay. We go through and delete all the negative comments.
Okay. Because if you leave them on there then?
Yeah. If someone doesn't agree with us, why mm-hmm. shouldn't their opinion, as long as they're civil mm-hmm. about it, then we're happy to know what happened with them in that product. And mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, even a manufacturer really wants to know that, and they'll get a replacement product and then they're happy.
Right. Good to know.
Happy, happy, happy.
With some of the trends that have been changing so drastically since you even started, you know, obviously it's well known that women are the largest growing demographic in hunting over the last several years. And what do you think is the reason for that? Why all of a sudden is it just now growing?
Well, first of all, I'm not a man basher because, you know, I have three boys and mm-hmm. so three sons and a husband for 42 years. So I'd never bash them, but then they've really taught me a lot about the outdoors. And so I think that kudos to all the dads and all the boyfriends and all the husbands and all the brothers and all the friends of women that are saying, come on, you want to try this? Yeah. And I see mm-hmm. a lot of that. And I just think that culturally, because I've talked to so many women that have told me, oh, my brothers got to hunt and I didn't. So the guys are the ones in, you know, that are really starting to invite women into their lives, and they're not being so parochial about it. And then also mm-hmm. we're seeing such a such an explosion in the women's groups. You know, you mentioned some of them. We've got Shoot Like a Girl Sisterhood of the Outdoors, Becoming an Outdoors Woman. That's like how many years old? 20 something years old now.
Yeah.
All even the states, even to check with your states, your departments of natural resources, your wildlife agencies, they offer all types of clinics for women. So I just think that, you know, it's just like a team effort again with, mm-hmm. with everybody who does this already offering invitations, because that is the thing that they found out from the survey a few years ago, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is that, you know, women really, and the National Shooting Sports Foundation kind of honed in on that a little more, that women would love to go outdoors and learn to hunt, but they just don't know where to go.
Right, right. And do you think because of these organizations, these groups that are actually looking to educate, and I don't think it's just women, because men need it too, you know, that want to start mm-hmm. hunting, they don't know what kind of habitat to look for. They don't know right off the bat that you should get fit for a gun before you buy it, to know that you can shoot it right. properly. And I think these organizations are doing an amazing job at giving the women the tools and the know-how to actually teach them these things, to be able to do it themselves. And that could be a big difference with it. Yeah. And I know, like, this
yeah,
year,
and what you're doing. Sorry.
Right. Go ahead.
This year, what?
So this year,
you know, we cannot see each other.
Right. You go.
So even what you're doing, as minuscule as it may sound. No, mm-hmm. what you're doing, Courtney, is so important too. Just look at all the wonderful women who are hosting podcasts right now.
Right.
Like yeah, inviting. It's... You're coming into our cars, into our homes, into our lives while we're folding laundry or exercising or whatever, and thinking, you know what, I think that's really interesting. And I am not going to have my female dog spayed. I'm just the old way. Mm-hmm. Just listen to your recent one. I'm like, wow, that is such great information, even if you don't have a bird dog.
Right. Yeah, definitely have a plethora of topics. But, you know, I think like hunting this year, I probably spend, I don't know, 80% of my hunting season is by myself. Just searching out different public land areas where I think birds will be. So I've never come across, in the 10 years I've been hunting, I've never come across another solo woman out hunting. I know it happens. I know several of them personally, but this year I did come across a couple different couples out hunting together. And that's increased from the past,
That's cool.
Yeah, to actually see women out there. And this was the first year that I shouldn't say the first year, but I've put together a couple different, hey ladies, let's all meet up here and let's go hunting, throughout the past couple years. But it's very rare to come across another woman solo hunting right now, and I hope maybe in the next couple years I'll be able to say differently that, oh, there's a whole bunch of women out today.
That
but,
would be,
you
neat.
Know, yeah, but nothing like the amount of, you know, men that you see when you're out. What's kind of been your experience with that?
Well, I hunt in two different ways. Either I hunt pretty much here by myself at where I live in the Ozarks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or I'll take somebody out. I'll be that, which is exciting because I've become a guide on my own place. But so that's been cool. Or usually if I'm not hunting here, I'm hunting because I'm on a media hunt, or we have a really nice partnership with Sisterhood of the Outdoors where we'll send in one of our writers or videographers on one of Amy's many hunts. Like I was just on a duck hunt in Arkansas to cover it, to be the boots on the ground while it's going on, and then to do a story on it seasonally when it later on in the year. Okay. So like this duck hunting story, we'll run that next probably August when people are starting to think about booking duck hunts if they haven't done it already. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of not the normal person that will book a lot of hunts, you know, out of state or that type of thing.
Sure.
Did that answer your question? I don't know.
I feel like I'm struggling. Well, and you do so much traveling with your writing. So it's a different avenue you're taking as well, I think. Different perspective. But when you're going to those hunts and writing about them, are you finding yourself on a team with other women, or are you with the majority of men?
Both ways. It just depends on the nature of the hunt. It might be a women's only media event. It might be a women's only hunt, or it might be a media event with men and women. So that's always interesting, because then I'll be usually getting to kind of rub elbows with some of the top gun writers and outdoor writers in the industry, which is always cool, and to pick their brains about things. And
right. So I'm intrigued with this, because you're bringing kind of a different perspective of it as well, because I've never been on a media hunt. So how is that going to be different? Can you teach me about that? Like, so it's, is it like a videotaping? Is it just for articles? How does that work?
Well, a media hunt could be someone like Ruger or Remington or one of the big gun companies, CZ, or somebody inviting a few writers from around the country that they know that the bylines will get into the publications they want to be seen in, or video, video YouTube channels, that type thing.
Okay.
And so then you'll meet up at a lodge and pretty much guaranteed success. And the guys, especially, they don't like me calling us trigger pullers, but I feel like that's pretty much what we are when we go on these hunts, because really all the hunting and the scouting has been done.
Right.
Which, you know, that's part of the hunt, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much we just come in and pull a trigger. I mean, you have to keep up, that type thing, if it's out west hunting and that type thing. But so I don't know if that really worked with answering about hunts. But, you know, I should tell you, too, I have hunted the sandhills of Nebraska for upland birds.
Okay.
Tried to do the Nebraska slam and failed miserably. And I have somebody who has dogs, the German short hair.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. With the one you have, I'm sure you have people reaching out to you all the time for different reasons to find resources and such. But I think since hunting season has been done here, a lot of women have reached out to me and asked how to improve their shooting before next season starts. Mm-hmm. And do you have resources available for that, or any recommendations of where they could look to help do that?
Sure. I think that, you know, that resource that you mentioned with all of the different women's organizations,
yeah,
a lot of them will be holding shotgun clinics once this COVID starts lifting a little more, the COVID restrictions start lifting a little more. And in fact, some of them, like CZ, even had a huge women's, I think that was through A Girl and a Gun. They even had a huge women's clinic last summer in the Kansas City area. But yeah, I would definitely check that list, because, and look to see, or maybe just do a Google search for your area and see if maybe your own local game agency is having something for women, or or people, or families. A lot of them will have shotgun clinics for families, but I do think that it's really important to get a coach. You know, I was a college athlete, and my dad is a coach. I can throw a perfect spiral for a football, which has never really helped me in anything in life. But my dad was a successful high school football coach in North Dakota. So for quite a while. So I do know how to do that. But anyway, so I think that it's so important to have a coach so that you learn good skills. Don't you think so? I mean, you need, or you know, somebody who's a good mentor. It doesn't have to be like a certified coach type thing, but find a good coach so that you learn the right way to do it. You don't have to unlearn terrible skills, and you don't hurt yourself.
Being that you guys are so personalized in the women's industry of hunting and all the different shooting sports, so I'm assuming you guys are familiar with Siren there.
Yes, we are. In fact, Siren has been on board as a partner for, oh, I want to say 5 or 6 years now. And I know that you work with them. You're on their pro staff, right?
Yes, yes.
Cool, cool.
So they're amazing.
Which guns do you shoot of theirs?
So I shoot the Siren Tempio Light, the 20 gauge. Mm-hmm. I use that for, I mainly hunt rough grouse. So when I'm out there kind of dodging all that rough brush and climbing the hills for dusky grouse. It's awesome. But my go-to for pheasant hunting is the Siren Elos D2, and that's a 20 gauge. It's a little bit, has a little bit more weight on it and a little bit less recoil. So, and I use that for shooting clays as well, but they're amazing. When I went up to Excel Shooting Sports, Tracy Keenitz there, she gave me the opportunity to try out, demo all the different Siren shotguns. And it was amazing how each of them fit me so well.
Does make a difference. I shoot the Elos. I have one that's 4 or 5 years old, and I had it at the ring neck classic with me, and I've taken it out pheasant hunting a few times, and you're right, it is a great field gun too. Trapper skeet.
Are you shooting 12 or 20 gauge?
A 20 gauge. Yep. Especially for field walking, I just you know, I'm not really interested in carrying a 12 right now. But yeah, it's a great company, and heart's in the right place, and they have a great staff. Of course, you're on it. So, but they do have a lot of women that are out there hunting and competing, you know, in pretty prestigious matches across the country and winning.
Right. Yeah. Super supportive company. Just out there to help the women, trying to help you feel more comfortable and confident. Definitely.
No kidding. Well, anything Italian, right? But especially this company, but Italian shoes, Italian cars, Italian food, Italian guns.
Italian
wine.
Wine. Anything Italian, you're right.
Yes.
So what, of all of the topics that you guys have there, which are a plethora, what are some of your most popular and sought out topics that you're finding women are looking for?
We do an analytics dive every month so that we know what the readers want. And they tell us lately, of the last few months, they tell us that they're really looking for, this is no surprise, personal defense.
Okay.
Tips and tactics, because that market is exploding with a political climate, what happened last summer in a lot of cities and everything. That definitely is happening. And then I think too, that when women get outside more, or they start hiking on their own, or even with me, I fly fish, I'll carry a Glock in a fanny pack, because I know a Glock can get wet and it won't really hurt it and that type of thing. but you know, special operators use it. I can take it fly fishing, but you know, I'll be honest, Missouri is known for having a lot of methane traffic, and I don't want to be, you saw that, isn't that in like the Ozarks of that TV show?
Or it is.
Well, anyway,
it's a great show.
Well, it's not even filmed here. It's filmed in Georgia. So there,
of course.
But anyway, so like I'll be apart from my husband, maybe go around a bend. I don't want to like wander into some kind of meth area or something like that, or I might have to defend myself. You never know. So I think a lot of women are thinking about personal protection, even if they're doing something as mundane as fly fishing or hiking on their own with their dog, or, you know, out canoeing. Why not? Why not empower yourself? So that's one thing. The other thing is, we've noticed, of course, probably because of deer season just wrapping up, but women want to know about rifles and hunting calibers, and women are really interested in, also they want to know about what, like one of our big searches was shotgun box ammo. What does that mean? On the side of the ammo, like grains, ounces, FPS. Yeah. What is that? Women want to know. We want to know what we're putting into our guns and why. So that was kind of cool. And then one of our most popular evergreen timeless searches and articles read is how to pee in the woods.
Really? It's surprising to me.
It shows up on every month's search. There it is again. Yeah.
Does it need to be more complex than it is?
No, we love it. It's just an evergreen article from about 4 years ago that just keeps bringing people to the site.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So can you like summarize it for me?
Well, Michelle Serino, our managing editor, wrote it, and yeah, she just gives tips and photographs, but she kept her clothes on. Thanks for that. But, you know, how to hang onto a tree and poke your deer ear out there and get it done.
Holding on to the tree. Okay.
not a big tree. Okay. It's not like being a tree hugger.
I know. That's what I'm thinking of, like wrapping your arms around the tree and squatting. Like,
no, you're
like, I feel like I have shin splints just thinking about it.
Oh, no, but it could be a post or anything, but just, well, so that is one of the things. And I keep telling Michelle she's going to have to write the follow-up, which would be number two. I get it. Because a lot of people, they don't know how to poo in the woods either. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And you're like, what do you do with it?
I grew up on my dad's farm every other weekend. I don't know.
It's just part of life. And I have known women, even editors from publications, that have just said they're not comfortable. And so they are miserable all day long sitting in a blind because they won't go out.
Right.
They won't go at all. And I always find that that's the time that the animals come in. So go do it.
Exactly.
As soon as you're vulnerable like that, that's what happened with me this year. I took our state rep, who has always wanted to go deer hunting, and she's the youngest state rep in Missouri, up in the legislature. Mm-hmm. She's my neighbor, and I took her out hunting for the first time, whitetail hunting, and the third morning of sitting there, I finally said, I gotta go out of the blind, I'll be back. Came back in, there she was on a deer with her gun on the sticks and everything. She goes, I'm gonna take it. I'm like, okay. Boom.
That's awesome.
Oh, doe down. And then a buck came out and she goes, can I take this one too? I'm like, at 150 yards. And I said, you have two tags, right? You have a buck tag. Yeah. Boom. She didn't even like wait for me to say. So that girl was so confident by the time she had sat there for 3 days, watched some deer that were too far away with this caliber. And I was really proud of her, and she field dressed them and everything. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, but that happened because I went out of the blind to go to the bathroom. That's why I brought him in, you know.
Yep, should have done that earlier. What has been like, I don't know, when you're looking for content, where are you looking, which areas, like, to be able to source those?
Well, all of them. We, hunting, shooting, fishing, adventure, we work very closely with our partners to find out what would you like for us to feature. What, maybe there's a new firearm, maybe there's a new boot, some type of a new product, there's been fishing in the past, what would you like for us to wrap a story around? Because that's the most important thing, is getting that story, that real life experience with the product done and out there. So that's what we do. And then we also have featured bloggers, whether it could be Christy Crabtree from Nevada Foodies, The Survival Mom, Rogue Preparedness. We find that prepper tips are also very, very popular, and especially in this day and age. We're just going to sign Primal Pioneer. It's a couple in Kansas City that hunts public lands and then cooks together. So we're going to be working with them as featured bloggers at the site where we run part of what they've put up on their own blogs, and then kick back to them to finish it off. But just lets us shine a light on these people that are doing this amazing work out there and bringing the outdoors, you know, to people, to invite them again, just to be inviting and accepting. And
and I noticed, like, on the Instagram platform, women are using hashtag one photo. Is that something that you guys are asking them to do, or kind of started that initiative?
Yeah, we did. And I think we had, last time I looked a couple of days ago, we had 8,000 photos up. We started that a couple of years ago. And this latest one, the woman with the crappie, I said, do you have a recipe for that? Because she said, yeah, we really enjoyed eating it. Like, may we share it? And then she also shared her recipe and a picture. She said, it's really hard to get a photo of it on the plate because it goes so fast. But it was a recipe that included panko breadcrumbs and hot sauce, or like wing sauce for crappie. It looked amazingly delicious.
Yeah.
So
that's the kind of photos you guys are looking to have people put the hashtag on, then, like when they're out harvesting or shooting meal preps, or what do you look at? Is there anything specific?
No, everything. Okay. Everything and anything. We have women showing us their augers for ice fishing. Great. Well, that looks like that could do some damage.
That's awesome. I am seeing a lot of, now that you say that, I am seeing a lot of photos lately of
ice fishing. Those girls are into it up there in Minnesota. And we work with Jenny Anderson, Girl of 10,000 Lakes, and she's a great blogger.
Yeah. Yep.
And she just wrote that book, 1-2-3 Ice Fishing, too, or self-published. Okay. This great flat book, lift a flat book. My granddaughter loves it. But about ice fishing, because she couldn't find a book on ice fishing for her toddler son. So she just wrote one herself.
Oh, that's
so there
neat.
You go. Yeah, right. She's a go-getter. It's got a great blog, Girl of 10,000 Lakes. Highly recommend her.
And speaking of books, you're working on a couple yourself, right? You
know, why just do one at a time, right?
Okay,
When you're going to start writing, something I've wanted to do forever. The first one is, and thank you for asking, the first one is, I'm probably going to put it together this weekend, because it's all writ, as we say here in the Ozarks. It's all done, been writ. And it's, we did a series a couple years ago on ARs at Women's Outdoor News, because we wanted to take the mystique and the out of an AR, because it just seems like it has so many parts and you have to register one of them, and which one is actually the one that if you don't get it properly, you'll be a felon, and you know, this kind of thing. So
you
can practically like get a cup holder to put on them. I mean, there's just like so many things you can accessorize. The furniture is what they call it, the furniture of an AR. So I wrote a series of, on ARs, and I thought that would be a good Kindle book, especially right now, because, you know, ARs are politically charged right now. There are people in the government that don't think we should have them, and then people are going out and buying them, and they're like, what the heck did I just buy? Mm-hmm. And why? And will I ever use it? But there's a great platform for women.
Okay.
So because you've got that adjustable stock most of the time, and you can accessorize it to, you know, what you want to do with it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and a lot of people are using
I don't know about that stuff. So, yeah,
I was talking to my pal, Julie Gollop, who's a competition shooter, Smith & Wesson, and we're talking about this. She's published a few books. She's self-published Toys, Tools, Guns, and Rolls, and then she also published a shooting book with Skyhorse. But anyway, she was talking the self-publishing route, and I just think just to have a Kindle download on just tiny, but weaving together the series that I did for on ARs and the different parts and pieces and how you put it together and what you need to do and how you can use it to your benefit and why it's a good investment.
Hmm.
Go buy an AR. You might not be able to in half a year.
Right. Exactly.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's the first book. And the second book has been in the works forever, back in my newspaper days, back in 2000. And I started going out, you know, doing things outdoors, but I also noticed these things called water mills in Missouri, these old grist mills and roller mills that are just gorgeous. And they used to have 850 of them in Missouri in the Ozarks alone. And now they don't have that many, but I want to do a book called Water Mills of the Ozarks for Missouri and Arkansas, because there are some gorgeous ones. Of course, none of them are still operating, but they're still there. Some of them have museums. Some of them have been made into parks. Some of them you can go fishing, and they're all associated with water, of course, which means it's a beautiful setting. So we have our bicentennial of the state of Missouri this summer. So I thought, well, that would be probably pretty good timing if I could come out with that book in June. It's something I've always wanted to do. It's under my travel blog called The Accidental Ozarkian, because I am not from here and I'm just accidentally here, which I used to have a newspaper column called The Accidental Ozarkian for 7 years around the state. And people would come in, they go, you know those swinging bridges you wrote about last week? We went out there and we jumped on them too. I'm like, well, great. You got them going. Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I don't even like to sleep. I do sleep. I try to sleep 8 hours a night, but I got to recharge, but still I think, oh man, I could be writing.
Yeah. Do you find your calming spot doing that writing of like all the different, I mean, that's kind of two different categories, staying in the outdoors. So you got that. Is that kind of your calm is the writing portion?
I love it. I love storytelling. So I've always loved writing. I've always loved storytelling. Anytime I can tell a story about something. And that's why I think this whole, to approach women about being outdoors, whether it's with a bow, an arch, a gun or not, or with a dog or whatever. I mean, I just think that if you can do it in a story, tell a story and let people make their own stories as a result, that's what life's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think we can just find so much, find ourselves more than anything in the outdoors. What about anything new in the works with One?
Yeah, we do have a few new things going on that I can talk about. Not anything really top secret.
Okay.
But we would never have anything top secret anyway. But well, actually, we do have something top secret. It is an NDA with a gun company. And I can't say which gun and I can't say what it is. But we're going to be reviewing that. So watch this.
Ooh.
Space. Okay. Yeah, we do that every once in a while.
Okay.
But
a new gun.
Secret. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. We had to sign
for women?
NDA. Yeah. And men. I had to sign an NDA, and so did my FFL dealer. And I think he felt really special.
That is top secret.
He had a promise not to reveal it to anyone when it comes into the store this week.
Yeah.
So that's coming out. But a couple of things. We work closely with like Sisterhood of the Outdoors, Shoot Like a Girl. So we're working on some new ideas for partnerships there. And then, you know, I just keep thinking we should have a store at Women's Outdoor News. And we should have a store that features art by women in the outdoors, maybe Sisterhood of the Outdoors, a couple of their pieces, maybe Wonder Woman Kansas, like her cool hoodies that I wear, just things that people could drop ship to people.
Sure.
But I don't
know. That's a really good idea.
You it's have a store?
Kind of, yeah. Well, it's just, ish. Mm-hmm.
I like your store. In fact, I'm trying to sign up to order. Like, you have cool shirts and t-shirts. Hats. Your hats are awesome.
Yeah, they're good. It's so hard to find, like, I don't know. I love blaze orange stuff because obviously that's what I'm wearing, you know, during season. And I just think that's such an easy way to help cater to women is just give them the stuff that they need for what they're doing.
Yes.
And then be comfortable in. So,
yeah, it'd be like a boutique for outdoor that would showcase some things from some women's outdoor organizations that they would be agreeable to. I don't even know how you do this, but
so,
and if anybody out there is listening to this and you are an artist or you make something cool that has an outdoorsy theme, get in touch with me. Let's talk.
How can they get in touch with you?
Oh, well, how about they call you and then you can, I'm just kidding. And you call me.
I will do no middleman work here.
No, I'm just teasing. No, there are a lot of ways. I mean, we have social media, Facebook, Instagram. We're on Rumble now. We were on Parlor. We're hoping to come back. We stopped Twitter. We also have Pinterest, which does really good. Really good way for people. I would really highly encourage anybody in the outdoors world to get onto Pinterest.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Okay. So, I mean, go into that a little bit. What are some of the things that you guys are doing on Pinterest that would be advantageous for someone to hop on there?
Well, anytime that Pinterest is just Google too. It's not really social media, and it's another platform, and it's a shopping mall.
Yeah. It's like a clickable magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know what our most our most popular board is not how to pee outdoors. It is outdoor related tattoos.
Really?
Because we actually did a post on that one time because we noticed that a lot of women, especially some of the more influential women in the outdoors, have these amazing tattoos. So we asked them, what does that mean?
Right.
And so that is one of our most popular boards.
Cool.
Is the outdoor inspired tattoos.
I like that. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yes, if you're not on Pinterest, get up there. Get up there with whatever business you have and start telling your story. And they even have storyboards now, story pins at Pinterest. So, oh man, this story thing is hot, isn't it?
I guess I need to go back and look at that. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on, Barbara, that we may have missed?
Well, I think that if anybody wants to tell their story, wants to do a guest post, wants to talk to us about something that they've experienced outdoors that they think would help other women, inspire other women or girls, get families together, please reach out to me and let me know. We are more than happy to share your story.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I very much appreciate it and all the resources that you and everybody at The One is contributing to help us in this community. pretty good stuff.
You're welcome, and thank you for what you're doing. And from my closet to yours, have a happy Valentine's Day.
I know. It's amazing we were able to get this connection from the sticks of Ozarks to the sticks of backcountry Montana. Yes. I love it.
Yeah. You gotta love technology.
Yes. Thanks Barbara. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bird Dog Babe podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and tag someone that would benefit from listening. And to help others find this podcast, please give it a rating and review on whichever platform you're listening from. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Until next time, Bird Dog Babes, keep them versatile.